I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. I was going to say happy July, but it's not.
It is not July. Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, we're very close. And we're going to tell you about the new horror movies that are coming out in July.
Yeah. Should we start there?
Yeah, let's start there. And then we have a couple newses and then we'll get into it.
We're talking about Eden Lake, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Say that. And we are the Killer Cuties podcast also.
That is who we are, and that is what we're doing here today.
Yes.
If you, maybe Spotify was like, hey, listen to this, and you just said, sure, and you took a leap of faith, that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Okay. That's out of the way.
Great.
I'm going to give you the first half of July 2025 new horror movies.
Sucks.
Starting with July 10th, we have Skill House. 10 top influencers are kidnapped and forced into a deadly social media showdown where every like, share, and follow is a fight for survival. The world watches and wagers as the least popular contestant is executed by a masked killer. In this brutal game of clout, only one will survive while the audience turns their deaths into profit.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like Squid Game meets TikTok.
Yeah. I was thinking, did you ever see that movie Nerve? Oh, it starred Dave Franco and, oh, what's her name? Emma Roberts. You hate her.
And, I do hate her.
They basically, it's like an app and you have to record yourself doing dares and you can make money off of it. But the dares get like progressively more intense, right? Until it's like, oh, like shoot someone, you know? So that's kind of what it reminded me of.
That's kind of fun. I mean, in concept,
yeah,
not in execution.
I remember not like hating the movie. I don't think it was like great.
Okay.
But it was a fine background film, you know?
Yeah. It also sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
There is a Black Mirror episode that's similar. There's also a horror movie that's kind of similar, but I won't tell you which one in case we ever watch it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though I'm going to forget in like literally 2 minutes.
That's true. It's called 13 Sins.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just file that one away.
Yeah. Just write that down. Write that down.
Yeah. Put a post-it note on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, July 11th, Abraham's Boys, a Dracula story. Max and Rudy Van Helsing have spent their lives under the strict and overprotective rule of their father, Abraham. Unaware of his dark past, they struggle to understand his paranoia and increasingly erratic behavior. But when they begin to uncover the violent truths behind their father's history with Dracula, their world unravels, forcing them to confront the terrifying legacy they were never meant to inherit.
Damn.
Like every other month, there's a Dracula story.
Yeah, people love Dracula.
I mean, I get it, but Nosferatu is enough. That was so good.
No, you have to capitalize off the vampires while it's time.
I guess.
Yeah.
The following week, July 18th, we've got two. I Know What You Did Last Summer, the remake. When five friends inadvertently cause a deadly car accident, they cover up their involvement and make a pact to keep it a secret rather than face the consequences. A year later, their past comes back to haunt them, and they're forced to confront a horrifying truth. Someone knows what they did and is hell-bent on revenge. They discover this has happened before, and they turn to two survivors of the legendary Southport Massacre for help.
Yeah, just to clarify, not a remake. It's a reboot.
Sorry, yes. You're
yeah.
So right.
Yeah, because it's already confirmed. Jennifer Love Hewitt and...
The blonde guy. Freddie Prinze Jr.
He's not blonde. He's only blonde in Scooby-Doo.
That's the only movie that matters.
We've seen the original where he is not blonde.
Yeah, you're right.
But yes, Buffy's husband is going to be in it.
Wow. Last one for me, also on the 18th, The Banished. After her brother mysteriously goes missing, Grace ventures into the dangerous wilderness to find him. As she uncovers the horrific truth of his disappearance, she is faced with a darkness which threatens to claim her as well.
Oh, no.
That sounds kind of organic. Or not organic. That sounds kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. That just sounds like, yeah, that's a horror movie.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. But what's the word for that? Just, you know.
Basic?
I guess.
Yeah.
I truly don't know what word I was going for.
Yeah. It didn't look like you had any other thoughts after you ended that sentence. So, all right. I'm doing the last half. Starting on July 25th. We have four movies coming out that day.
Sheesh.
Yep. First up, we have Osiris. A team of special forces commandos wake up on an alien spacecraft with no memory of how they arrived. They horrifically discover that they are being hunted by a merciless alien race.
Oh my God.
It's right up your alley. And also,
it's reverse the 100.
I was going to say it's just Pandorum.
Yeah,
wake up
so
from
right.
cryosleep, being hunted. Although this didn't turn out. Oh, nope. Spoiler for that. Not aliens. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up. Also on the 25th, Bambi the Reckoning. After a mother and son get in a car wreck, they soon become hunted by Bambi, a mutated, grief-stricken deer on a deadly rampage. Please stop laughing. Seeking revenge for the death of his mother. It's a very serious film.
Yeah.
Obviously capitalizing off of all of those IPs that have now been up for public domain. Next, we have House on Eden. A team of paranormal investigators expect the usual scares when they set out on their latest case. But after being mysteriously rerouted to an abandoned house deep in the woods, they find themselves facing a force unlike anything they've encountered before. As the night spirals into chaos, eerie phenomena hit at an ancient, malevolent presence watching their every move. And that one, I think, stars TikTokers. It's the Call Me Chris girl and then the Selena...
Spooky Boo.
Spooky Boo? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that they're in that.
Fun.
So, if you're fans of them.
I like Selena.
Sure. I don't think I'm familiar enough with either of them.
Selena is the one that does sleepwalking.
Yeah. That always felt, I don't know. I don't want to like put this out there because I don't know. But it always felt like so staged to me that it never felt that funny.
Okay, fair.
But to each their own.
Yeah.
That's why TikTok's
like
a wonderful place. Yeah, it's obviously people think it's very funny. It just wasn't ever for me, but go for it. And then finally on the 25th, we have The Home. This is the one that's starring Pete Davidson. We talked about it a few episodes back, but just as a refresher, a rebellious 20-something is sentenced to community service at a quiet retirement home. The residents on the fourth floor are strictly off limits, said to require special care. As his suspicions grow and he digs deeper, he uncovers a chilling secret that puts both the residents' lives and his own in grave danger.
And it's
Pete
not
Davidson.
Funny.
It doesn't appear to be. The trailer did not speak to a comedy. So,
crazy.
Yeah. Then on the 27th, we have Ick. This is actually it's a foreign film that came out last year, but it's getting its U.S. theatrical release this year. Hank is a high school science teacher who still pines for his childhood sweetheart. While discovering he may have a teenage daughter, Hank must grapple with a terrifying alien anomaly invading their small town.
What the fuck? The first half, the first three quarters of that sound like a completely different movie.
Yeah. It's definitely two stories merging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Finally, on the 30th, we are getting Together. This is the one that's starring Dave Franco and Alison Brie.
I finally saw the trailer for that.
It looks good, right?
I don't like them touching eyeballs.
Yeah. I'm excited. Anyways, years into their relationship, Tim and Millie find themselves at a crossroad as they move to the country, abandoning all that is familiar in their lives except each other. With tensions already flaring, a nightmarish encounter with a mysterious, unnatural force threatens to corrupt their lives, their love, and their flesh.
Hmm.
I'm excited for this one.
Yeah,
it's gotten good early reviews, so
and
we shall see.
I haven't heard anything more about them being sued by that one guy either for plagiarizing the story. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. I mean, I'm sure we wouldn't until it's either settled or goes to court, but it didn't seem to stain the reputation of the film too much.
Yeah. Well, should I do some news?
Yeah, hit us with some newses.
And tell us which of the July movies you're looking forward to in the comments.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay, now news.
Now news.
Okay, so last week we celebrated Jaws' 50th anniversary. That was on June 20th. Well, Hollywood Reporter has put out a really great, pretty comprehensive list of all of the various Jaws 50th anniversary merchandise that has come out since then. And there are some really, really good ones. I just wanted to give a little high-level recap. So, of course, there's a new retro Funko Pop figure. It's number 1754. It's called Great White Shark. Aptly. Build-A-Bear Workshop has Jaws t-shirts for your Build-A-Bears.
Cute.
Very cute. The Loungefly backpack is super cool. It features the orca, the shark, and the barrels in front of an ocean sunset.
Nice.
There's a really sick pool float. It's $100. Oh. I know, for a fucking pool float. Crazy.
No, that's too much.
But it is pretty cool. It's basically the iconic shark from the original movie poster.
For $100?
It's $100. Yeah, no. $9.99 on Amazon.
Buy a pizza float and paint it. You don't
honestly.
Yeah. It's just a triangle.
Yeah. That's all it is. And then my absolute favorite, you know, the brand Little People, the children's toy brand. It's a children's, they're kind of like Duplo, kind of like Lego, but like big people, you know, they're little people.
I don't know that, but I believe you.
Okay. It's a children's brand, Little People. They have a special edition set of three characters. It's Brody, Hooper, and Quint on the box. Quint is falling into the mouth of a smiling shark. This is a children's toy.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's great. It's being marketed more for adults, sort of as like a collector's item. But it's still very much like children's packaging, children's toy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but more like those Barbie doll, like the special event Barbies that you weren't allowed to take out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought it was a joke because of him literally being eaten on the box. He's being eaten.
Yeah, that's funny.
But it's real.
I like that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Shout out to my mom. She always let me play with those special event Barbies, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't have to keep mine in the box.
I wasn't allowed to have Barbies.
Why?
I don't know. I think it was the beauty standard thing. I was allowed to have American Girl dolls.
Oh, okay. You could only have dolls that contributed to society?
I guess so.
No, Barbie contributes.
Well, Barbie contributes to society.
She contributes so much to society.
Well, but I think also that's kind of newer. I think they rebranded her as a contributor to society from... Maybe not. I don't know. But either way...
I mean, that was before our time, though, that she was rebranded to that.
That's true. That
Barbie
is true.
Had tons of careers in the 90s and in the 80s.
That is true. But I think it was more about the books. I had to read the books and then I could get the doll or like dress her up or whatever.
Got it.
Yeah.
Shout out to my mom for letting me have Barbies.
I guess so. Anyway, that's the Jaws news. And somehow we're talking about Barbies and American Girls. But
yeah, I don't know how that happened. But
me neither.
Whatever.
And then quickly, two movies that we have to look forward to other than all the ones that we literally just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have Sketch. Have you heard about this one?
No.
It's so cute. It just got its first trailer. It's a family movie. It's a monster comedy about the monsters a group of kids draw coming to life.
Oh, didn't they just make that movie with Ryan Reynolds?
That movie is called If, and it was absolutely ass.
Oh, I didn't see it.
And also, I don't think it was Ryan Reynolds. It was John Krasinski. Was Ryan Reynolds in it?
You'll get there. I thought he did the voice of the...
Steve Carell does the voice of If. But maybe Ryan Reynolds is the dad?
That's crazy. He is front and center on the poster. Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in it.
I forgot.
John Krasinski is also in it. He plays Marshmallow.
He's the director.
Okay, he also plays Marshmallow. I didn't see it, so I don't know who that is.
I didn't either.
Oh, and Brad Pitt. Boo! Tomatoes.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. What? Never mind.
His name's not important.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so that movie's been described as Jurassic Park meets Inside Out.
Okay, cute.
Yeah, so fun. So cute. So fun. We go watch the trailer for that. And then we finally have a U.S. theatrical release date for Return to Silent Hill. It's coming January 23rd of next year.
Nice.
Yep.
Exciting stuff.
Yep. That's what you missed in horror news.
Love it. All right. Should we hop into Eden Lake?
Let's do it.
Okay. Today, Once again, we're talking about the 2008 British horror thriller Eden Lake. Little summary. A young couple on a romantic weekend break at a remote lake house are terrorized by a group of vicious delinquents. That's from Google. It was written and directed by James Watkins. It stars Kelly Reilly, Michael Fassbender, and Jack O'Connell. It had a budget of $2 million, and it made about $4 million at the box office in the UK. I don't think it got a worldwide release. It currently has a 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 65% audience, and 78% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know exactly why you would like this movie, or at the very least, I know something that you do like about it.
What's that?
James Cook is in it.
First of all, what do you know about James Cook?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Jack O'Connell is in Skins, and he's in Sinners, and he's in 28 Years Later. So he's basically your wet dream.
That he is. That he is. Yeah, it's... I maybe put this one in the ringer. Because again, you chose this. I did not.
Yeah.
Was I happy you chose it? Yes, because it's relevant. Because anybody who saw Sinners was like, who is that guy? It's Jack O'Connell. He's been in the game for a long time. And I know, I'm pretty sure he's older than me, but watching his career blow up right now, I'm like a proud parent.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching this kid since I was 16 years old when he was on Skins. So very proud of him. So yeah, if you were wondering who Remy is in Sinners, it's Jack O'Connell. And he plays Brett in Eden Lake.
The main kid.
Yeah, yeah, the bad one, the worst one. He plays a villain well.
Is James Cook a villain?
Not to me.
Okay. I know that he's in 18 episodes of Skins from like 2010 to 2011 and in 2013. So I know he goes away for a minute and then comes back.
Yeah, so every two seasons is a new generation on Skins. So seasons one and two are about the first group of kids. Seasons two and three, which he is a part of, is the second group of kids. Five and six is the last group of kids. And then season seven came back and it touched back on three previous characters. So he was one of them that they brought back and basically said a where are they now type of episode.
Wow, so fun.
Yeah. But no, he's not a villain in Skins. I think... what makes Skins such a great show, if I can give a chance to brag about it and talk about it. The characters are all just very well written and very realistic. So they have a lot of good sides and they have a lot of bad sides. And that's just kind of what you get. So there's probably a lot of people who hated Cook and a lot of people who loved him.
Okay.
To be clear, I love Cook.
I can tell.
Cook forever. Sorry, Freddie. The it's ones like a, who need to know, no, Katie.
Like a foreign language.
You're going to be a Freddy fan, and I'm going to hate it about you.
Oh, no. Why? Yeah. Are you sure?
Yes. Oh. I already wrote it down. Years ago, I have a little note. Katie's favorite skin character's prediction. Cook is not on there.
Okay, well, I'm just going to lie. I'm going to lie to you about who I like best.
You'll forget by then.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Eden Lake, which I suppose Jack O'Connell is in it, so it was relevant. I had to get it out of the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. This movie came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So between 2007 and 2010 in Great Britain, there was this sort of, just for some like historical context, there was this sort of ideology called Broken Britain, which was coined by one of the political parties there. And it referred to this sort of broken society of absentee fathers, crime without punishment, rights without responsibilities, kind of like the Purge 24/7 is how they were presenting Britain to get people to vote with them so that they could fix it.
Yeah. To be clear, it was the Conservative Party that was pushing this agenda.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means the same thing there as it does here, does it?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, if it does mean the same thing, then we hate them. Anyway, this movie is largely, and I think sort of correctly, bucketed into a group of Broken Britain inspired films, or they also call them hoodie films because like the kids that were running amok wore hoodies. Anyway, however, the director said that the idea for this film came about 3 years before the movie's release, so 2005, 2 years before the phrase was even coined, and there was any panic about Britain's societal structure. And the director also said that he had no intention on the movie having a political commentary and just wanted to do the film because he liked the story. The story interested him. Yeah.
Yeah. He did touch on it after in an interview, because the movie did get a lot of criticisms in that category of pushing this narrative that poor people are dangerous, even though yeah. it's like we're not giving them the societal structure needed to not turn to crime. Like, that's a huge issue, is crime is very easy to fall into when you don't have social systems in place to protect you.
Yeah.
But he basically said in an interview that he understands the criticism of it, but he also thinks that if it's a fear, then it should be free to tackle in a horror movie. So he basically said it's fair game to explore fears that people have in horror, regardless of if that fear is valid or not. He also cited Jaws as an example, which I thought was funny and relevant, because he said that's not a valid fear. You're not going to go in the ocean and get bitten by a shark. Like,
okay.
90%, more than 90% of people are going to go in the ocean and be just fine, right?
Yeah.
So not a super valid fear, but it's a very widespread fear. Jaws capitalized on that. So
yeah.
I don't know if I like, I don't know where I fall on that. Because I feel like if you're pushing a narrative, there is some consequence to that. And yeah. we should be aware of that. But I also did not, the first time I watched this, I had no idea that that was a thing. Obviously, I was a yeah. teenager, but I was just like, oh.
And not in Britain.
Scary teen boys. Same. I'm also scared of teen boys.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older and I can see it, I'm like, I understand where that lens is coming from. It's very clear that there's a class differential between the couple and the kids.
Yeah. I don't think that any horror movie writer, director, creative is out there to create panic. I don't think that that's ever the intention. I mean, maybe, but I mean, that's not the first thing I think of is like, oh, now I got to be worried about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think it's ever the intent. For the most part, I would hope it's not the intention to try to stir up a political agenda against yeah. a certain group of people just by making a horror movie.
Yeah.
I think his intentions were like, oh, people have this fear. Let's write about it. It's not, you know. It's like writing a movie about a killer clown. People are scared of clowns. Let's write on it. Are you going to worry about the effects on clowns afterwards? Probably not.
Yeah.
But do I think all art is political and there is some consequence to it? Yes. But I also feel like that's why discussions on films and that conversation is important.
Sure. You mentioned Jaws as an example. Well, yeah. James Watkins took influence from a lot of 70s horror films. Jaws was 70s? Yeah, 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50s. Yeah. Good. A good segue. Wow, good job. The Wicker Man, which we haven't watched yet.
Mm.
Deliverance, which I know how to play the theme for on the banjo.
I haven't watched yet.
I'll play it for you.
Thank you.
I think I can play it on most string instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Not to brag, but Last House on the Left. I think we've talked about it, but we haven't like talked about it.
We haven't done an episode on it. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you if we do.
Okay.
It's not really a movie I want to rewatch, but if you want to go into it, we can.
Okay, well, maybe.
It's Craven.
Well. Okay. Maybe. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
What? So this was Watkins' directorial debut. What else? He'd previously only written movies. What else has he directed? We've watched some of his stuff.
We have watched Speak No Evil. He did the remake.
Yes.
So we have watched and talked about one of his films. I didn't like that one. But
it was fine. Because,
you know, I liked the original.
Yeah.
But yes, before this, he had only ever written two other films, and they were both directed by other people. So this was his directorial debut.
Yeah.
He did My Little Eye, which I have seen, and Gone, which I have not seen. Gone is the 2007 one, by the way. There's like 80 million movies called Gone. My Little Eye, I remember liking, but I also remember I only watched it or had heard of it because I was obsessed with Chris Lemke. And so I was just watching his entire filmography because I think he's really hot. Still do.
As people do.
Yeah. But he did say, since this is his first time directing something he's written, that he really enjoyed the fact that he had kind of full control over yeah. everything that was happening. Because he said in his previous two films, he had some frustrations. And it wasn't anything bad to the director. He said that just kind of comes with the job. But obviously, the director and the writer are probably never going to have the exact same vision for a project. So you're always going to find things where you're like, I didn't really mean for it to go that way, and they're taking it that way. And so now it's kind of not what you wanted. So he said that was nice on this one, just having full control over how it was portrayed. But he also said it was kind of more pressure because then there's no one else to blame if it doesn't go well.
True. True. Much of this film was shot at a place called Frensham Common, which is an SSSI. It's basically like a British national park, essentially. Lots of other movies were filmed there. The original Hound of the Baskervilles, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh.
Yeah. The Witcher and The Witcher Blood Origin. And, wait for it, the lakes were used as the Nile River in the 1999 cult classic, The Mummy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great film.
Yeah.
Now I want to rewatch The Mummy.
As you should.
Yeah.
That's a horror movie.
No.
It's about a mummy. That's like an icon of horror.
So is Under Wraps.
Horror movie? We did an episode on it.
No, we didn't. Chasing Childhood did. We were just on their podcast. Oh.
What? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Did you think that we did an episode on the Disney Channel original movie, wait, Under Wraps?
We did. They were on our podcast.
Yeah, not talking about Under Wraps, babe.
We talked about Scream and we talked about Under Wraps.
No, we talked about Scream and we talked about Krampus.
Oh, you're right.
Steph did Krampus and Lex did the Scream franchise.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
It's a blur. It's all a blur.
We did an episode on their podcast for Under Wraps, but their podcast was called Chasing Childhood, where they revisited children's films.
Yeah, I really put my best foot forward in that episode, too, because I talked about sucking on toes.
You did.
I remember that part.
I do, too, unfortunately.
And I'd do it again.
I believe it. Back to this movie. They did some screenings prior to a wide release, and Watkins said that during some of the early screenings, when Jenny stabs Cooper in the neck, the first kid that she kills, he said the audiences have been so tense leading up to that moment that it was kind of a relief. So he said a lot of people started like whooping and cheering and like shouting payback. And so he deliberately lingered on the shot afterwards where she's sobbing and the kid is just dying in her arms, because he wanted people to realize that it wasn't this like triumphant moment. And he said, I wanted people to think, was I really just cheering for the death of this little child? To be clear, I kind of was. Those kids sucked.
Oh, shit. I can send you a screenshot of exactly what I typed. I think that this movie has the most gut-wrenching line in any of the movies that we watched.
What line?
Literally, the build-up and the delivery of the kid saying, Miss? That's, like, you literally watch him physically build up the courage to go to her.
Yeah.
And he's remorseful and he clearly doesn't want to be there and he is probably going to help her. And then she turns around and stabs him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the intention was that he was changing tides.
Yes. Yeah.
But, I mean, to be clear also, I was not whooping and cheering for that. But I'm also like, I'm not going to feel that bad that she killed him, because what else was she supposed to do in that moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If I just watched that kid stab my partner and my partner's now dead, I think I'm killing anybody that comes near me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so fair.
I'm not going to trust them. Especially, that was after Adam betrayed her too.
Yeah.
So already she tried to trust a kid and he just took her right to the lion's den.
Yeah. I mean, so fair. And yet
she still kept running to people and asking for their help.
Yeah, right? What the fuck?
That was one of those moments where I'm like, how many people do you have to run into who know these kids or are related to these kids before you stop asking people for help and you just run.
Yeah.
Just leave. Just go.
Yeah. Anyway, I cried during that. My compassion fatigue reached its limit.
It's a heavy movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I also, after having watched this film and in researching, learned the term necklacing for the first time.
How was that for you?
So great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it originated in South Africa in the 80s. Like, it's a relatively new form of torture because it involves, or murder, assassination.
Yeah.
Because it involves a car tire, but it's a method of public execution in which a rubber tire is drenched in gasoline and then forced around someone's neck and arms and then set on fire. It is still used in Brazil by mostly like the cartel.
Mm.
Supposedly, and it got a lot of attention in 2002, so a year or two before this film was being conceptualized, when a Brazilian investigative journalist was kidnapped and killed that way in front of a bunch of people. Terrible.
Yeah.
It's not a way to go.
It isn't.
And the fact they do it to, like, a 10-year-old is fucking insane.
I don't think he was 10. He looked like 14.
Okay.
Not that that makes it better. Still a child. You can't necklace a 14-year-old just because they're 14.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And there's lots of moments like...
Yeah, there's moments like that in this movie where her killing Cooper or this, where it just, like, lingers.
Yeah.
And it's like one part of you is like, this kid is getting killed and dying. But the other part is like, you're like, don't go back, right?
Like, yeah, no, I did not want her to go back.
No, like, you can't blame her.
No way.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to kill him if you don't come back, but you know he's going to kill you if you go back.
I think that's the like, not the art, but the, like, finesse of this movie is that you got to kill the kids. Like, there's nothing else. You're killing kids. If you're in this situation, kids are dying at your hands. It's terrible. It's not a fun movie to watch.
No. I think this is on a lot of people's lists of, like, movies you can only watch once.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, Watkins talked a lot in interviews that I saw about wanting to show the consequences of violence rather than the violence itself.
Well,
I do think he showed a lot of violence.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was asked if he thought that this fell under the umbrella of torture porn, because that was huge in the, you know, 2000s, early 2000s when this movie came out. He said he didn't think so. He thought that especially the whole scene with Steve, like, that's brought up a lot. He thought that that was important because it was more about Brett imposing his will on the others, and also kind of that turning point where some of the kids start realizing maybe this isn't what they want to be doing.
Sure.
So he felt that that was, he said specifically, it's very far removed from the sort of gleeful celebration of violence you get in a film like Saw, which...
Okay.
Tell me you didn't see Saw without telling me you didn't see Saw, because that's... I don't think Saw is gleeful violence. Maybe some of the later ones, but I will defend the first one till the day I die. I don't think that it's relishing in the violence. I think that it's, again, violence with a purpose. The entire movie is a critique on the American healthcare system.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I still don't understand this concept of torture porn, other than the fact that I know that Terrifier is that. That's it. That's my whole understanding of.
Yeah, I think torture porn's just almost no plot, all gore.
One of my complaints about this film is that it's a light plot.
It's a very light plot.
It's enough. It's enough. And if I'm saying that, it's enough. I'm a stickler for it. There's got to be plot.
Yeah.
Except if it's Halloween. Unless Jamie Lee Curtis is in the film, there has to be a plot.
God. I'm more forgiving depending on how it's done. I think this is one where I'm more forgiving.
Yeah.
It's a light plot, but I think it's done in a way that it flows nicely and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Simple, but effective.
Yeah. It's not no plot.
No.
It has one. It's just light. And it works.
Yeah. But I think Terrifier is a good example. We haven't really watched a lot of heavy, true torture porn movies.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. Or not.
I've seen Terrifier.
Yeah, that's all you need sometimes.
Yeah. You know what I love is a movie with no plot and a lot of gore. It sounds like I would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
That was all facetious, if it wasn't clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody who didn't listen to our episode on Terrifier, she hated it.
I fucking hated it. I hate those movies, or that movie. I didn't watch all of them. I only watched the first one.
Yeah.
And I kind of judge you if you like them. Not going to lie. Something changes about how I think of you if you enjoy the Terrifier movies. So don't tell me if you like them, because I don't want to hear it.
Kitty, that's engagement. Please tell us if you like them. I feel like people say the same thing about Saw movies, so I can't judge. But
yeah.
Yeah. One day we'll find your movie that people say, if you're a fan of it, you're a weirdo. And then you'll feel differently. Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, I don't have that many hot takes other than I like Jaws 2 better than Jaws 1.
That don't piss me off again.
I've got one more fun fact about this film.
Oh, okay. I have more.
You go first then.
Okay. Well, kind of two in one, but you mentioned too the sound that was used.
Yeah.
Watkins in an interview said that he wanted to use sound a lot to depict the violence.
Yeah.
So we can hear what's happening to Adam. Like, that's just kind of glimpse. We know what's happening, but it's not a full view of that. And we can just hear him. You can see it, but it's a glimpse of it. It's not a full showing of it. And even when Steve's getting tortured, a lot of it, you're seeing, but also a lot of it is Jenny's reactions to it or Brett's reactions to it.
Yeah.
While it's happening. So that was kind of important in his vision. But one of the scenes that he pointed out was when Brett is like beating one of his friends to death.
Yes.
And you don't see any of it.
None of it.
You see him hitting, but you don't see the punches connecting. You just hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when they were doing it, it became a lot. He was like, that was one of those scenes that just was too much. So that's why he decided to have the music kind of take over and drown out the sound and kind of go with that. And then he said that he used that same technique at the end when she's getting carried away and you can hear her and then it fades into the music and it's just Brett in his room.
Yeah.
So he felt like that kind of helped the music kind of carry it away from that heaviness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This movie has, I mean, not that I know what an authentic scream is, but this movie feels like it has the most authentic screaming. It's like her screaming and Adam screaming are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So hard to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun fact. This movie's so depressing.
Yeah. Fun facts about the bleakest movie.
Yeah. This one actually is kind of a fun fact. Kelly Riley, who played Jenny, obviously had 8 different versions of the same dress to wear, each with varying degrees of grime and muck.
Hmm. And blood. That checks out.
Yeah.
She gets progressively more disgusting.
Yeah. When she goes into that trash thing. Whatever that was.
I think it was just a dumpster, right?
It was so sludgy. Was it like compost?
I don't know. Maybe.
It was gross.
Yeah.
I was so worried she was going to like have to go all the way under. And when he opened the lid, she wasn't going to be in there because she was going to be all the way under with her face under. Ugh.
Yeah, thank goodness that didn't happen and she gets a happy ending.
Okay, yeah. When you put it that way.
Yeah, sorry. She actually said in an interview that when they were shooting that last scene in the movie, that Watkins just looked at her and was like, people are going to hate this. And she just said, I don't care. Because she loved it so much. She just thought that Jenny not getting out was scarier and more realistic. So she liked that ending.
What is something crazy is I read on Reddit that people have this on lists of good for her films. Like, what about this film is good for her?
I would not put it there. But I mean, we also talked about it during Midsommar where people don't think that's a good for her movie, and I do, so.
It is.
But people say she's no better off at the end than she was at the beginning. I mean, she's not dead. She's not as bad as Jenny is at the end of this.
But also, dumbass boyfriend's dead.
That's the good for her part. And I think people forget that it started as a joke. Like, it was a meme. People were saying good for her at Gone Girl. She's also not in a better situation. It's just funny to say that when a woman takes power over her shitty, shitty boyfriend or husband. Yeah. So I think that's where the disconnect happens.
That's fair.
That some people think it has to be a happy ending to be a good for her, and I do not.
Yeah.
However, this one, that's kind of a reach for me. I don't see it. At any moment in this, I'm like, oh, good for her. Maybe when she hits the girl with her car. But again, it's a kid, so how happy can you be?
Yeah. I hate that literally all three, well, no, because the girl was kind of a shit too.
But she had realized, and she kills them after they realize what a mistake they've made.
Yeah, that's true. All of them, literally everyone that dies that she kills.
Right. Well, there's no redemption because they die.
Yeah. It's.
And at that point, it's kind of like, to her, they're beyond redemption. Like, you can't come back from that. She's never going to trust you again.
Yeah. I mean, but also kind of
unfortunate because then the whole family thinks that she killed them all on purpose, so.
Yeah, not ideal.
It's not an ideal ending.
No. I still think that Cooper, the young kid, he really struggled and, like, half-assed his torture of the husband. That one hit me. The other one's like,
yeah,
you know, I don't, maybe, but that one really bothered me. I cried.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Also, I watched this movie in the dark. I don't watch movies in the dark very often.
Yeah, I keep telling you need to because it would impact your ratings, but
I don't think it did.
Oh, okay.
I'm just commenting.
Just talking to talk.
Yeah. We got an hour to fill. Any more fun facts?
Yeah. Just one.
Oh, okay.
They said that they wanted to escalate it kind of slowly, which I think worked well for the pacing of the movie. Mm-hmm. It kind of starts with one confrontation, and then it escalates to the food and the tire and then the diner, and then it just keeps building on that because they wanted people to put themselves in the couple's shoes. And Joaquin said that he felt like a lot of men would feel like they have to go say something, that they have to stand up for themselves or their partner. And it's only after it kind of escalates to the point of no return that you realize I could have walked away so many times before this.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that kind of added to the realism a bit. It built.
Sure.
Personally, I'm out of there, but that's just me. Do you have any other fun facts?
No, I think I'm ready to rate it.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 out of 5. I gave it like a little bump just because it's more fucked up than it is scary. But I gave it a little bump because there's moments of tension.
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 1.5 because that's what my heart tells me.
Yeah.
It was harrowing. I don't think it was exactly scary.
Fair.
I ain't afraid of no kids.
I am.
Fuck them kids.
Don't come to me. How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5. It's too grimy. It was a very grimy movie. Too violent and like not in like a fun. It wasn't fun. I didn't have fun. How about you? Yeah.
I also gave it a 0.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the vibe. It's not it.
Yeah.
It's not a sexy vibe.
No.
Love you, Jack O'Connell, in any other role, but you are gross in this one. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.5.
Okay.
That's reasonable. It's pretty fucked up.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get the dog dying. We got Adam's death. We got Cooper's death. Yeah, the dog dies.
I forgot about that.
It was kind of sad, too. It's like the only thing Brett cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got, you know, the thing going through her foot, everything that happens to Steve.
Yeah.
The ending.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Overall, fairly fucked up.
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 3.5.
Yeah.
I don't think that's especially surprising that I would rate it higher than you. I also didn't like the mouth thing. the box cutter in the mouth.
Yeah.
That was rough. Not like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously the necklacing Adam thing, not good. The poor kid getting stabbed in the neck was fucked up. And a lot of stuff that we hadn't seen before. Like, finding out that necklacing is a thing.
Yeah.
Not ideal. And then the screams. Like going in blind. Like, I thought we were on, like, you know, I don't know. Going in blind and then finding out that the villain is a bunch of kids. You don't expect. It just caught me by surprise. I thought it was going to be a lot tamer. So I think that heightened it a little bit.
Valid. Overall, what did you think of Eden Lake?
I would say that this is like a step, whatever is after, like right after Gateway Horror, I think this is the step right after that. I think that once you've seen all of the Gateway Horror movies and you're like ready for some more gory stuff, then you watch this one and you'll be prepared for anything, you know?
Yeah, this feels maybe like a step above. It's pretty intense.
Anyway, actually really enjoyed it. I did have a good time, sort of. Not like really, but like sort of. You know what I mean?
You had a good time having a bad time.
Yeah. It was so fun to be uncomfortable and sad. And yeah. I started it late last night with the intention of watching 20 minutes and then finishing it on my drive home from work. And I couldn't put it down. I was up until 2 a.m. finishing it, and then also – well, no, I was up until midnight finishing it, and then until 2 a.m. thinking about that I had just finished the movie that I just finished.
Yeah.
The characters are all compelling. I might in a past life have complained about the thin plot, but it really didn't bother me in this one. I didn't even really think about it until after the fact. Like, well, I didn't really have a plot. The chase of it all was kind of fun. The surprise of how jarring some of it was fun. The acting was great all around. I really think everybody did a good job. Cinematically, it was a little dark.
Yeah.
Maybe. Which, like, whatever. Directors and cinematographers don't know how to light their fucking movies. And I think I would have enjoyed a little bit more on some of the other kids. Because I really liked what we got from the main kid. That, like, context. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I liked that we got the, you know, the older brother looking for the younger brother. That gave a little bit more context into that kid. I liked that sort of, like, world building sort of, I guess, is what you'd call that.
Yeah.
Anyway, overall, I don't think I'm going to ever watch it again, but I gave it 4. I actually really liked it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. How about you?
We agree.
Hooray! Wow, it's about damn time.
I know, it's been a while. No, that's not true. We agreed on some of the Jaws. It just got overshadowed by your horrific rating on the original and Jaws 2. But... yeah, I give this a 4 out of 5. It is bleak, but it is – I haven't made the list yet, but I keep saying I have a list of, like, great movies that I only want to watch once.
Yeah.
And this is on there. I did watch it again for the podcast, but, you know.
Yeah. Yikes.
It happens. Sorry. I had to refresh my memory because there were a lot of things that I didn't fully remember or maybe blocked out on purpose.
Yeah.
The main thing that stuck with me was the ending, which – I think is what a lot of people remember from this. I did give it a little bit of a...
That's the part they remember? Like, that part was just like, whatever, compared to the fucking tire thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously horrific. But yeah. I think in conversations about horror movies, I see this one the most when people are talking about crazy endings to movies. It's like The Mist, this, some others that maybe we haven't watched yet. So it's like not happy endings, you know?
That's kind of crazy to me that people are complaining about a horror movie having a horror movie ending.
Because people in America always fight against it. And then they don't do it because they want the happy ending. They want the heroes to overcome and win.
That's like not even a horror movie. That's an action movie.
Okay. You're the one who liked Speak No Evil remake. So where are we now, Katie?
Where
are we now, Katie?
Yeah, I liked it because it had good acting.
I have been a... sad ending defender since day one.
I've been a defender of The Mist since day one.
Making
random ass people in bars watch that movie. Yeah, nothing brings me greater joy.
Yeah. Anyways, I did dock it a little bit. It is hard to watch.
It's
not like a feel good romp you want to put on when your friends are over, but it definitely stays with you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking about it for a long time.
Nice. You picked it.
I did. Out of three choices.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the other two were, but...
That's a shame.
I remember one of them. Anyways.
What was it?
Beloved Ones was on there.
That sounds stupid.
Don't. Don't Doesn't act it? Like that when you don't know.
It sounds stupid. The name is dumb.
Well, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, Wolf Creek was the other one.
Oh. We already watched that?
No.
I thought we already watched this one, too. I thought it was the Australian.
Lake Mungo? Like,
yeah. I was like, what if she just, like, slipped it in here to see if how far I would get into the movie before I realized I was watching it again?
That would be hilarious, but no, I wouldn't do that because you probably would watch it and be like, it feels like another movie we watched, and then it'd be a whole rabbit hole.
Or worse, I'd be like, you know what? I forgot. I actually have already seen this movie. I just forgot that I did an episode on it.
What's funny, though, is that you chose the one that's not Australian. And Lake Mungo was Australian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Loved Ones and Wolf Creek are both Australian, and this one's British, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wolf Creek?
Wolf Creek is Australian.
Eden Lake?
Eden Lake is British.
No, but did you see that two bodies of water?
Yeah, but Wolf Creek isn't actually about a creek.
Oh, okay, got it.
They all have something else in common, which I won't tell you.
Bleak Anyways. Endings?
No.
Children murderers?
No.
No.
Wow, I really did create a trifecta of movies that all have things in common with one or the other. That's crazy. Anyways. All right, would you survive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, neither myself nor my husband are confrontational enough to have approached those kids, especially not the second time where the dog ends up dead and then, like, everything goes south. So we're so fucking safe, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just leaving.
Just getting out.
Yeah, no big deal.
Got a blast.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I live.
Yeah.
They're camping. The amount of things that have to go wrong for me to leave a camping trip is exactly one. So the minute there are rowdy teens, bye. Let's go to a hotel. I love hotels.
You're not even camping in the first place.
But I figure I have to put myself in that situation if I'm going to be fair. So let's say I get drug camping. One thing goes wrong. I'm fucking out of there.
Yeah.
Food goes bad. Goodbye. Tires fucked with. Bye-bye.
So
I'm gone. At the first three things that happened, I'm out of there. So there's not even a confrontation to be had.
So what you're saying is that there is a chance you'll go camping with me, as long as nothing goes wrong.
No, what I'm saying is that in our rules, I have to put myself in a situation. So by mythical intervention, I am camping in this made-up scenario.
Fine.
But no, I will go to a campsite, and I will sit and have s'mores and drink some alcohol, and then I will skedaddle down the street to a hotel where I can have AC and no bugs biting me.
Okay.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay.
We have heating and AC. We have bed frames. Why do I want to go rough it?
I don't want to go camping either. It hurts my shoulder.
Thank you.
It just hurts me.
Yeah, it hurts.
I think if it didn't hurt, I would do it more.
I'm an adult.
That's what she said.
Camping is playing make-believe when you sleep in the living room to make it seem like you're on a camping trip when you're 12.
Yeah.
Grow up. You don't need to camp anymore.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. If people want to camp, they can. I'm not going.
They know.
We're going to get the camping defenders in our fucking comments.
Hey, it's engagement.
That's true. All right.
Hey, you hear that, campers? We fucking hate camping.
Yeah, campers. Oh, you better not comment anything, campers.
You're really laying it on thick this episode.
Yeah. It'll get one. I'll rage bait someone. All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
I think I know enough about this movie that I probably shouldn't.
Oh, okay. You've seen it?
No.
Oh. Just the name?
But, like, no. Like, it's older. People talk about it.
Oh. Okay.
It's The Fourth Kind.
Yes, it is The Fourth Kind.
I know it's an alien movie. I'm pretty sure it's like a cop investigation alien movie where they're like, oh, all these people are dying. What's wrong with them? And then they find out that people are being taken in the middle of the night, like levitating out of their beds into the UFO kind of thing. like a very traditional alien movie.
Yeah.
And I did this once earlier. I confused it with The Sixth Sense. It's either like people, it's like, I think it's in the same critical acclaim bucket as Sixth Sense. Like, I think, but that could also be very, very wrong. It's one or the other. It's either like critically acclaimed, people love The Fourth Kind, or it's absolute fucking trash ass and people hate it and that's why they talk about it. I vaguely remember people liking this for some reason or another. But it could just be that those have the same name, sort of.
Yeah, it could also be that you're thinking of Close Encounters of a Third Kind.
That also could be.
I think that's what it is.
What? That's an alien movie. Fourth Kind is an alien movie.
It is, but it's not Close Encounters of a Third Kind, which is what you're thinking of.
Okay.
Fourth Kind is not old.
This is the sequel.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm making you watch the sequel first. It's chronological. It's the prequel.
No, because third, fourth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But aliens go backwards.
Okay.
I'm kidding. But I think you were thinking of Close Encounters of a Third Kind, which is fair.
No, I really think I was thinking of The Sixth Sense.
An older movie that people talk about that is critically acclaimed is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
People talk about The Sixth Sense. It's critically acclaimed.
With The Sixth Sense, yes.
Yes.
That's not this. This is the fourth kind.
I know. But I wasn't confusing it with Close Encounters of a Third Kind because I know that's critically acclaimed and I know it's about aliens.
Okay, so you were confusing it with The Sixth Sense. Either The
Fourth Kind or The Sixth Sense that are critically acclaimed, or both. I'm just confused by The Sixth Sense and I'm The Fourth Kind too, having the same.
That's fine. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. They just have the same naming conventions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, numbers.
Yeah, and I had forgotten about Close Encounters of the Third Kind until right now, and that's until bothering me now, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, people either really like this movie or they hate it. I don't remember. I just know it's
not that's
aliens.
Most films.
There's some middle-of-the-road films. Madagascar, yeah, yeah, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. When I think middle-of-the-road movies, Madagascar 2. First thing that comes to mind.
It's not as good as 1 or 3. Or as bad as King Julian.
How dare you? I'm just kidding. I think I've only seen the first one. All right. Well, yeah, it's aliens. That's all you need to know. That's fine.
Good. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Next Tuesday, we'll see you then.
Can't wait.
Not like right now. You made a face like I was asking you, let's do it right now.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with how our recording schedule goes. Oh, okay. I didn't think at 10 p.m. on a Thursday you wanted to record two episodes in a row, but without having seen the second one.
Who knows? Maybe I have seen it. I'll remember.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, please like and subscribe. Stick around with us till next week. If you want to hear us talk about The Fourth Kind, you got time to watch it. And tell us your favorite horror movie with a depressing ending. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.